Last time we were here, boy, we had such a neat illustration from Pastor Steve with the tile that had no real foundation. And boy, you could just hear it in there. As soon as you just knocked on it or walked on it, it just sounded hollow. And that's just been staying with me. You don't know it, but you're Anglicans. You're all into the sensory worship stuff, which is what the Anglicans are all about. But that sound has just stayed with me for this whole month. So thank you for that. And it was such a powerful illustration that I thought I would bring up some props today, just so I can kind of follow that. So I have a couple of things I want to show here, and there's a reason for them. But I wanted to show off, I'm going to brag on, one of my sons did a real cool art project this week. This is a broken vessel here, if you can see this. And what it means, it's this earthenware vessel, and it's shattered, but it's still doing its best to hold water. And you know what? No matter what, it just can't hold water on its own. At least I think that's what it means. He doesn't know how to talk yet, and it was just because he dropped this off the counter. But I thought it was a pretty powerful thing. As soon as he learns to talk, he'll tell me that was Jack. So I thought that looked pretty cool. I like old stuff. That's why I like most of you who are here today. I've already told that joke. You know what? I've already told that joke to the men at our church, and they still laugh, so that tells me a little bit something about whether they remembered or not. So I'm not saying anything. No.
You can tell it in 10 minutes' time in the
movie. Yeah, that's right. I have three real passions in church, in my life. That's of course, Jesus, my family, and the third is thrift shopping these days. I am deep in it, and I gotta tell you, every time I get a chance to go to a secondhand store, I just get excited about it. I just never know what I'm gonna find. I love old stuff, and I love stuff that needs restoration. Do you guys remember that show from 5 years ago, maybe, American Restoration? Yeah. It was just so cool to watch these old, rusty hunks of junk come in and have them be restored to new. And I just love that analogy. I know that's how God has wired me. Some people like things that are brand new and fresh and clean. I like stuff that is rusty and falling apart, and that I get to watch it get restored back to its original glory. And it really got me thinking about just the lessons that we can learn from this. And so I'm thinking through a devotional that I'm calling The Prodigal Shop right now. And it's lessons that I've learned thrift shopping that really match up so much with the story of the prodigal son and our relationship with Jesus. It was either that or thrifting. Christianity and the Art of Thrift Shopping, something along those lines. So I'm still workshopping the title, of course. But, you know, it's something that has been on my heart a lot because I love, like I said, I love to go into these old shops and just see what's there. And I'm always surprised. And, you know, if you know the story of the prodigal son from Luke 15, always called the greatest story in the history of the world. It's just a beautiful account of God's love for each one of us. You know, when you walk into one of these stores, everything that's in that building has a story. It didn't just show up there by accident. Usually, they're a little bit broken down. Maybe they don't look like they used to. Unrecognizable. Maybe there was a tragedy. You know, a lot of the time you're cleaning out grandma's house and you don't know what to do with some of this stuff, and it makes its way into the thrift shop. Yesterday I went, tell me if you can figure out the story behind this one, okay? I walked in and there's a box with the shark steam mop. Do you guys know that thing? It was an infomercial and then it was everywhere. It had the price tag on it. It was from Bed Bath & Beyond for $159, okay? I got it for 10 bucks. There were bunches and bunches of parts. 90% of it was still in the bags that it came in, sealed bags. And the only thing that wasn't was the main unit that had the pad on, the terry cloth pad, never been used. But there was a little bit of water in it. So explain that one to me. I cannot figure out how that thing showed up there with a little bit of use, but not enough to even make the pad dirty. And my operating theory is this. It was a gift from Mom as the son moved out of the house. And he said, Mom's coming over. I better look like I at least tried to use this thing on my floor. That's my operating theory, but you never know. You never know the stories. And I think that's kind of the case for all of us. We never really know the full story of how we got to this point. We know that we're from fallen great, 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 great grandparents. We know that we were cast out of the garden. We know that the things that we've done in our own lives have broken us, have brought us to this place where there's not a lot of hope. We're just in a sea of other outcasts, a sea of other things that have been thrown out and brought to the shop for who knows, just donated to the garbage. And I think about that moment in the prodigal son. You know, the son takes all of his dad's wealth. He goes, he gets his share of the wealth, and he goes into this far country. We even talk about it sometimes. You know, we were out in the far country. He goes to the far country, squanders the money on all kinds of sin stuff. And you know, we know this because the older brother says it later. He spends it on debauchery, prostitutes, and parties, and this life of just pure sin. And at the end of the story, at the middle point of the story, when there's the crisis moment, he's an outcast. He's sent to this foreigner's farm to give food to pigs, and he's longing to eat the slop that the pigs are eating. This is a terrible existence, isn't it? He's an outcast. That's his story. That's where he got to. That's how he made it to the shelf here, okay? All the while, this father is just waiting to see if he comes home. Like I said, there is a joy and an anticipation whenever I walk toward a thrift shop. I will tell you that. There are some people that just hate that experience, or it gives them, as we say in our family, the Krishnoblitches, to even go near that kind of stuff. And, you know, in truth, if our boys ever come in with us, we douse them with the antibacterial lotion afterwards. It's not the cleanest place. It's dingy. It's a store with everyone's stories and cast-offs, you know? And what I love, of course, is that there are these items of incredible value, but they're extremely undervalued in the store. They're given these price tags that are just next to nothing. And they're treated like essentially one step up from free garbage. You know, this world that we find ourselves in, where we're outcasts, this world that the prodigal son finds himself in, feeding the pigs, he's completely undervalued. In fact, he knows that because he says this line about how much more do my servants have it better than I have it right now. That my father's servants eat better than I do right now. And yet here I am, undervalued. But I was made by the Creator. I'm my father's son, you know? One of the things that I like to do when I go into these stores, I brought a couple of fun things to show you guys from my haul. I love to look at the bottom of different items. And, you know, we have this amazing tool with Google that I can type in just random stuff, okay? This is, there's a picture of a hand and a K on it, and I can learn that this was made in Malta about 100 years ago. That kind of thing that otherwise I wouldn't be able to know just looking at it. That's amazing with Google. But this is what I love about this kind of stuff. When you walk into a thrift store, as you walk in, you never know what you're gonna find. But it's gonna be of potentially great value. But everything in that store, as broken and as unrecognizable as it is, could have incredible value, okay? And what you see at the bottom, this is why I brought this one, is you see these things right here. These are called hallmarks. You'll find that on silver a lot of the time, or something that was fearfully, wonderfully made by someone. And it has these hallmarks. Sometimes they're called maker's mark. And this is a signature of the Creator. It's a signature of the person who made this that says, I am putting my stamp on this because there is great value in this thing. And people will recognize that my hand is on it. And what I love is, no matter how dirty and dingy and broken something like this is, you can always read the maker's signature on it. You can look at it and you can know it has great value because you know who made it. There's a beautiful scene, and it's Rembrandt's Prodigal Son, if you've ever seen the painting. And it's really dark. It's hard to see everything that's going on in the painting, but there, if you look at it, the prodigal son is kneeling before his father, and the father has so much joy as he's looking at his son. And you look at what the son is wearing. He's wearing just tatters. Okay, I mean, he looks like he's been out on the streets for a long time, which he has. And if you look on his side, it would be his right side, and he's holding his dad. His dad is holding him. There's a scabbard. Look at this. When you Google it, take out your rectangles and Google it sometime. There's a broken scabbard that he's wearing. It's a sign that he is a wealthy man's son. That's Rembrandt's way of saying, look, this is somebody who has value, who is born of the Son, and yet no matter how broken he is, he wants to say, I want to be identified with my Father. This is showing that he has value and that he is a royal, of royal blood, of distinction. And he wants to show that. So, you know, I think about something like this, this little tiny, I think the technical word is cup for this one. I just think about it and I think this wants us to know it's got value. It was made by somebody who craftingly and lovingly made this thing. And it has the signature, the mark of its creator on it. And no matter how dingy and broken it is, it has value. You know, think about where you were when you were at your lowest point, when you were on the shelves, and you were outcast. You still have such great value because the Father created you and loves you, and He put His stamp on you. Okay, that's what it's all about, is that we were made by the Father, and even though we've been outcast by stuff that we've done, we have great value, and when the Father finds us and rescues us, He's in the business of restoration.
Amen.
And you know, you get this moment when the son is walking by, and like I said, I love going into these shops. My heart starts to pound. I have joy. There is joy in the Father when He sees what can be restored. You know, I think about that moment, and the Father's heart is pounding, and if you've read anything about this, you know that wealthy patriarchs of families in those days don't run. They don't run. Maybe if their kid, I read somewhere that one of them, a modern one, says maybe if there was a poisonous snake at my kid's feet, I might run toward them. Might run toward them, okay? This man gets up and he very undignifiedly runs to his son. He's found this son of great value, and he runs and he embraces the son. What I love are the three things he says. You know, the son says, I'm not worthy, but the dad stops him. Stop. You're home. Get some sandals for him. Get a ring on his finger. Get a robe. Okay? The robe is you're an honored guest. You're an honored member of this family. The shoes are saying you're no slave. Mm-hmm. And that ring says you are part of this family. And what I love about that moment is no matter what the son feels like he deserves, no matter how broken and filthy he is, the father says, no, you are an heir. You're an heir. Now here's my real passion at thrift shops, is going and finding something. I was trying to find something really tarnished, but I couldn't. I even tried to tarnish this myself and I couldn't. But you know, you come in, you get these things. This is something my wife found. This is an old camping pan. She just loved the look of it. It was $1, right? And it was ugly, it was covered. Okay, this is actually cleaned up. but it's covered with just years of camping, okay? And so somebody found this in a garage when they're cleaning out grandma's garage or something. And says, who wants this? It has no value. Could ever use it. It's just a dirty mess, you know? But I found it and I loved it. I saw this thing that was just a mess falling apart. But I knew who made it. It has it's got its name right on there. It's this. It has a maker's mark. I could learn all about this, the company that made it, when they made it, how they made it, why they made it, all of these things. And I brought it home and I could clean it. Okay? And isn't that wonderful? That beyond just being received and brought home, we get cleaned up. Mm-hmm. We get restored. And God's not afraid to get his hands dirty, putting in that elbow grease of restoration to the point where it shines on the inside. And I just love that. This is another one that this is just silly, but I found a 102-year-old copper kettle. No, 117 years old, okay? It was dingy. It was sitting on somebody's stovetop forever, and every spattering of bacon grease and dust and everything was on this thing. It was black, okay? I didn't know what it was made out of when we found it. But I brought it home and I fell in love with this kettle and I just started working on it. And it was just a joy to make something that was this old that had just been thrown away. Grandma's gone, we don't need it anymore. There's better kettles out there. This has no value. And I got to bring it home and just work on it and joyfully restore this thing. And it shines. It shines. Do you think in the life of the prodigal son that the father gave up on the son at this point? Do you think that the son very quickly decided, I'm just going to go back out there? Or do you think that the father continued to work on him and show him his love and grow him up to be a member of the family again? I think that son was probably the most joyful and thankful son in the world. Because he knew what it was like to be in the far country, cast off, thrown onto the shelves with the rest, and brought back into the Father's fold, and restored, and shined like brand new. I think he took so much joy out of that. And he remembered what it was like to be in the far country, and even more what it would felt like to be restored. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at this yesterday and thinking, I could almost see myself in this thing. I thought, isn't that the whole point? I didn't make this, okay, but you get the point. That as you restore something, as you bring it back, as the maker gets to look at it and clean it and bring it back to life, aren't you supposed to just reflect the maker inside of it? Aren't you supposed to shine his light and bring him out even more? I mean, this is just a pan, right? But we, in being restored by God, are a testimony to our Creator and to our Redeemer and to our Sustainer, the one who has restored us and transformed us and brought us back to life, saw great value in us, even though we had been outcast and part of this world, and brought back in and called heirs to the kingdom. We're testimonies of that. We're testimonies of what he has done. And if we're doing anything less than reflecting his light, shining his light, being his mirror, we're falling short. But we get this opportunity to just shine his glory, to reflect him. That's all I have as far as the thrift shop stuff, except I really encourage you to restore things rather than go and buy new ones. But there is something so holy about the process of restoration. Because we get to participate in this process, even though it's just an old pan, an old cup, an old tea kettle. It's something that God does to us every single day. Amen. You know, he brings us into the refiner's fire and brings out the purest of silver. And even when we fall apart, we still have his mark on us. And by his cross, he restores us. And by his Spirit, he continues that process of restoration and transforms us so that we get to shine. We get to shine. So this week, as we go toward Resurrection Sunday, I want you to remember it's Restoration Sunday too.
Amen.
And he's in the process of finding us, cleaning us, and making us new and calling us heirs of his own. Mm-hmm. That's all I got, guys.
I have something.
Yeah.
Sorry. I just feel the Holy Spirit prompted me to flip the story. Great words here. Everything. It was interesting to me that the father forgave the son, yet the brother brought back to the father. He was with don't you know, family was against him. And I just want to tell you, if you have family against you, it's easy to get bitter, and it's easy to keep them at arm's length, keep them away. Hey, the father has forgiven them, our heavenly father. We better forgive our family. That's just what jumped out at me. And you know where it says the brother, so the older brother goes to the father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you. But when the son of yours has squandered your property with prostitutes, how do they know? Because everybody knows what's going on. Everybody knows the rich man's son. Oh, can you believe what he's done with this inheritance? You know, and they go back and they tell. Listen, if everybody seems to be against you, let me remind you, God is not.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Just tagging that, yeah. I want to know what this Google valued at.
Yeah. No, yeah.
You paid it for a buck, you got $2?
Yeah, that's about right.
But you were going to probably have us pray for one another. But I just really sitting there, I just felt really compelled to stand up and to say, it was the brother who spoke to the father about the other brother.
Yeah.
Sometimes in our church families, it's like that. People speak, you know, maybe not our two churches, other churches around here. That was my little joke. But we need to pray for one another, pray for our family, pray for our family. Why do we pray? Because we know with prayer things happen.
Yeah.
Lives are changed.
Yeah. Before we go into the prayer, can I ask a favor? Give me feedback, because I really feel like God is using this season of thrifting in my life to do something. But if you saw something else, by all means, please share it. So, yeah.
Great introduction. The Japanese culture, oftentimes they like to take an old piece of pottery or cup or something like that, and they'll fill in the cracks with gold because they recognize the damage.
Yeah.
But they actually find more character in what was used and gone through and weathered and come out with your side than something that was brand new.
Yeah.
That might go along with your message.
I think so. Yeah, no, and that's a beautiful, I've seen beautiful pieces that they do those in too. These gilded cracks that, you know, we're all stronger because of what God has brought us out of, you know?
And we all crack pots.
Amen. Amen. Try holding water on your own. Yeah. Anything else today?
So Jack was doing the science project.
Yeah, that's for sure. So.
Very powerful.
Thank you guys. Thank you so much. And let's take some time. We got a few minutes here. We want to just break into groups of two and just pray for one another, for what's going on, and pray for resurrection and restoration on Easter, okay? Thanks, guys.